to the Carol Danvers.
Carol Danvers.
Show.
Show.
Show, show, show.
We are taping this in a huge cavern.
No, we're not.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're actually...
The jig is up.
Yeah.
The cat is back.
Yeah,
she's doing some stretching. She's probably going to go sit on Ariel's lap like she was for the last episode. She likes to sneeze sometimes. Well, maybe she doesn't like to, but she has to.
She sneezes quite a bit.
She's having a sneezy day.
Isn't that every day? We see that every day.
No. I say it most days.
Well, here we are. Issue number 7?
Yeah. We're Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel. Right now, we're reading through the Ms. Marvel issues of 1977. And, like, now she's known as Captain Marvel. The Captain Marvel movie might actually be out by the time this podcast comes out.
Because
it comes out, I think, March 8th.
Oh. That's exciting.
Yeah, so it's the same character, Carol Danvers. In the comics right now, at the time that this comic was coming out, in 1977, Captain Marvel was the Jude Law character, Mar-Vell, who's an actual Kree alien. Carol Danvers kind of had her DNA merged with his in the alien device explosion. The radiation gave her basically his powers. And she has basically two personas, the Carol Danvers persona, and then she switches to Ms. Marvel sometimes. And in like a flash, her clothes change from human Earth garb to Kree alien costume type things.
Kree alien tights and underwear.
Yeah, exposed midriff.
Yes.
That's just normal for Krees.
To have the exposed midriff?
Yeah.
Because they don't really get cold.
So we're talking about Ms. Marvel. Oh, this is Ariel Wang.
Yep. And who are you again?
My name's Louis Passner, and we're actually professional musicians from Oakland. But we
do this too.
We're doing this to just kind of mix it up. And that music that you hear, our intro and outro music, is Ariel's music. You can hear that on Bandcamp, ArielWangMusic.bandcamp. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Or on my website, ArielWangMusic.com.
Yeah. So,
looking at this cover here,
the flames are back.
The flames are back.
I'm a fan of the flames. The flames behind the lettering of Ms. Marvel, and we see
there's the dude. He's back again. The
MODOK.
MODOK. Yeah.
We finally see we learn that this dude who's been spying on her is MODOK, actually.
Yeah. And he's shooting a beam at her. There's this other chick here who Ms. Marvel is grabbing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, I can't resist his will. MODOK's forcing me to kill her. So she's not, tearing her hair out by her will. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of that's such like a stereotypical sexist stereotypical thing of women, like when they fight, they like pull each other's hair.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I do know.
You know. Nightmare. There are some fates worse than death. Pulling somebody's hair.
Is it the pulling of the hair that is the nightmare, or is it getting your hair pulled?
Oh, getting your hair pulled is a little worse.
Maybe. Okay, so that's the cover. It's all right. We got AIM people all around. They're watching. It's kind of like, looks like it's an arena. So we open it up, and we get a little blurb summarizing the premise of Ms. Marvel. Carol Danvers, A woman who had it made until the day radiation from an exploding alien machine gave her the skills and powers of a Kree warrior, plus an uncanny seventh sense, transforming a human woman into a heroine. Sorry, heroine.
Yeah, this is... I don't know about this description, though, because it keeps... All of these issues keep talking about her as, like, two separate people. So it's like, did it really give her... like Carol Danvers all these powers, or did it give her like an alter ego that has these powers?
Well, it kind of started out with the whole alter ego thing, but they've been working in that she's the same person. She had a breakthrough a few issues ago where she had to use her memory as Carol Danvers and her strength as Ms. Marvel to defeat a huge robot called the Doomsday Man. And that's when she was like, I'm actually the same person. But they still kind of have different personas.
Right. Which is where it gets a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, my God, it's happening just as I saw it in my premonition. So this flashes back to the last issue.
Right.
Where she has all these premonitions of these things that are going to happen. And it ends with her falling and basically having a tower fall on top of her.
Yeah. There's a huge explosion. At a gas refinery. She was battling this subterranean Prince Gortok, who is also known as Grotesque. He's kind of an X-Men villain from the, what do they call it? Silver Age? And he won. They were battling for this thing called the Kavarite Crystal, which is, it's kind of like an energy-absorbing crystal where we saw Dr. Peter Corbeau talking about how if they put enough energy into it and do it the right way, then it could be the key to faster than light travel, like warp drive or something like that.
It could rebound.
Or it could rebound and destroy the entire planet. And so Carol's friend, Salia Petri, was... Her mission, she's a NASA astronaut, mm-hmm. is to go up and test the crystal in space, I guess. I'm assuming so that they won't destroy the world if something goes wrong.
Right. But then Grotesque got a hold of it, and the last sort of panels of the last issue was Grotesque coming out of the rubble with the canister that was holding the crystal, and everybody seeing that Ms. Marvel is not alive.
Yeah.
Or as far as they know.
And she basically gets buried by debris.
Yeah.
And she basically blacks out. And when she comes to, she sees MODOK, who's basically a giant floating head with tiny arms and legs.
So he's like a baby, basically, or a fetus.
Is he?
Well, have you seen images of fetuses? They're just giant heads with little, like, limbs.
Hmm, interesting.
So he's very fetal.
So she wakes up, and he's like, what does MODOK sound like?
Hey, I'm MODOK. I was once head of AIM, Advanced Idea Mechanics. Until I was deposed following the so-called War of the Supervillains. Since then, I have regained control of AIM's West Coast operations.
I don't know. That's probably a different voice than
and
the one I used.
And with your help, Miss Marvel, I will rule AIM again. And through AIM, the world.
Yikes.
I don't think that was the voice that we used in prior issues.
We only have like a few go-to voices. It's okay.
Is that? I don't think I've used that one yet.
No, that one's pretty distinct, but it's hard for me to do.
So she says, she's thinking, calm yourself, woman. Think first before anything you do. I'm a prisoner. I'm still Ms. Marvel, but my costume's gone. I've been unmasked. And that man, I know him, but the memory's so unclear. And she says, who are you and what do you want with me? And that's when he responds. So...
With what we just read.
Yeah.
And then she kind of struggles. I like this panel. She struggles and there's this energy beam around her. And you see her hair go all fizzy?
Frizzy? Yeah.
her hair gets real frizzy. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. She says, once I've broken free, I'll... Argh!
And he goes, most impressive energy... most impressive.
That energy backlash would have rendered a lesser being instantly unconscious. I do not kid, Miss Marvel. And do not try to escape again. It is impossible. As for helping me, you have done so already. Behold!
And she sees another woman wearing her costume. And basically, AIM has files on her.
Yeah.
And they know that the circuitry in her costume is what helps her fly and create a breathable atmosphere around her so she can survive out in space. So they've given the costume to another woman.
Who is going to do some practical tests. She is
Agent M17. Demonstrate Miss Marvel's flying ability.
But then she crashes.
The woman runs a few steps, jumps, and falls on her face. She goes, great MODOK. I don't understand. I tried.
Silence! The costume also protects an energy field, capable of withstanding the destructor's tachyon beam. My own brain beam is not yet that powerful. But for the moment, it will do.
This says the woman as she's hit by his brain beam. This is one of my go-to exclamations. Aye!
Yeah, is this where you got it from?
No. I've been saying that for years. And basically, she's unconscious. And, Carol thinks to herself, MODOK doesn't know what's going out because her circuitry in her costume got burned out during the fight with Grotesque. And so the costume is useless.
Things are not working out as planned, MODOK. What a shame. And then he says,
you left too soon, Miss Marvel, for I still have you. And after a session with my mind whipper, you'll gladly tell me all I wish to know. Indeed, you will be MODOK's most loyal servant. Switch on!
She goes, never! As she's hit with the brain beam. And then we get a nice splash page of her head split in two. And one side of her face shows her, beating up MODOK and smashing him and throwing him around. And another shows her, that's the side of her face that's all, angry.
Yeah, and then to happen after the initial her trying to fight him.
Well, I think it's
this is all happening in her head.
Maybe that's her seventh sense. I think it's happening in her head, because then on the other side, we see her face looks more hypnotized, like there's no life in her eyes. And we see MODOK is no longer just a giant head. He's a hot guy.
Is he, though?
And they're making out. Yeah, because it says, no longer repulsive, fearful, monstrously evil. The Mind Ripper has made him tall and strong and beautiful. It's made him a man Ms. Marvel can love and serve. A man she will worship as a god.
See, this is also female stereotyping. Do guys really think that women who, date them worship them as gods? I don't know. Maybe some men think that. And maybe some women do feel like that, too. But I feel like most women, not so much.
I think that some men want that. And right. So, that's what MODOK wants. It's the ultimate brainwashing, right? And actually, it's kind of interesting on the other side, the captions. Inside her mind, she attacks, breaking free of the stasis arcs and lashing out at MODOK with all her Starspawn strength. And again, she smashes him, tearing the armor from his stunted body, roaring her defiance as her hatred consumes them both. Yield? To such as MODOK? Never. By the 10 galaxies, she has the soul and spirit of a Kree warrior, and a Kree would die rather than surrender. So that's her split personality right now.
Right. And he says,
fascinating. She held out against the Mind Ripper far longer than any other subject. Yet even her magnificent will cannot withstand its brainwashing beams indefinitely. Release her! She is all the AIM reports said of her and more. With Ms. Marvel at my side, nothing can stop me now.
And she tries to fight. She's whacking those guys around.
Yeah, she goes, "Wanna bet, sourpuss?" Actually, that's a caption. And then she goes, "Get off!" And she kind of like throws a bunch of AIM people around and conks their head together. And
she's beating them up. And one of the guys says, "Stop her, you fool. She's going for MODOK. How? We could sooner tame a raging hurricane." But through it all, MODOK watches calm as could be, as if he already knows the battle's outcome.
So she's like tossing fools left and right, and MODOK's just sitting there watching, and she grabs like part of a machine that catches on fire. Is that what that is? It looks like a torch.
Yeah.
Let's not get hung up on this. And then she says, "Say your prayers, mister."
"No, Miss Marvel. I shall say only one word. Stop."
And then she stops.
"Drop your weapon."
And then she drops her weapon.
"Who is your master, girl?"
"MODOK is my master."
So now she is under mind control.
But we see her looking real disappointed, but then behind her is an image of
her.
Of Carol Danvers, like, shocked, right? But it's sort of like an astral image.
Yeah, it's like part of her brain. And MODOK says,
"As a final test, though, I wish you to kill for me, guards. Seize Agent M-17.
That's the girl wearing the Ms. Marvel costume.
And
she's going, "No!"
And he wants her to kill her as, like, the final test that he has full mind control. So then she says, "As you command, Great MODOK."
"Please don't, Great MODOK. I've served you well. Why me? Why me?"
And fingers like steel bands close around the woman's throat, tightening inexorably.
Inexorably.
Inexorably. Carol Danvers crying out in impotent fury as she fights for control and fails.
We see that image of
Carol Danvers, yeah, astral projecting.
Yeah, and she's all pissed.
She's torn her mind, half her soul, enslaved by MODOK, the other half of her soul free, but helpless.
But so she's choking her.
How helpless is she?
Right.
Because he says, "What are you waiting for? Kill her!" And the strain is unbearable, and then something within her soul snaps.
Suddenly, she's a universe away in the Imperial Kree Starfleet Academy. One of the Blue Kree cadets had made a crack about her pink skin, and she decided she had enough.
And then they say, "That's the spirit, Marvel. Murder the brute. Kill him."
And so I think this is one of Marvel's memories, right? So that's interesting. She has his memories.
As well as her own and Danvers.
I think that Ms. Marvel's memories are actually Captain Marvel's memories.
Oh.
And then she has Carol Danvers' memories as well, right? And those are basically the two personas. Well, except that Ms. Marvel calls herself Ms. Marvel.
Right.
And we kind of get a glimpse into Kree culture. Basically, there's blue-skinned Kree and there's pink-skinned Kree that kind of look like human. And the pink-skinned humans are, like, treated as second-class citizens.
That trope sounds familiar.
And she basically is, like, choking
a blue,
yeah,
tree. And then it also flashes to suddenly her being Carol Danvers on the Kennedy Space Center training gym, her opponent, astronaut trainee Salia Petrie. And she basically kicks Salia Petrie's butt.
They're doing judo.
Yeah.
Well, she does judo on her. She goes, "Hi-ya!"
Yeah.
And Sally says, "Woof."
And later, she says, "The trick is turning your opponent's power against him. Don't worry, Sal, you'll get the hang of it." And
I don't know, next to you, Carol, I feel like such a klutz.
"Practice makes perfect, my friend. Join me for some coffee." And
there's a nice caption.
"Friends. Ms. Marvel had none. Carol, many. Ms. Marvel's memories are those of violence and hatred, carols of love and beauty. Both sides of her soul battle for supremacy until... She says, my mind burning. What am I doing? And then she thinks, that damnable machine had violated my mind, twisted and molded me to Murdoch's shaping. Maybe Murdoch's slave, but no more. And she says, by the Black Nebula, Ms. Marvel will be free.
She struck Murdoch.
That's right, Buster, and I've only just begun to fight. Use your blasters, men. And they, you know, they're saying, use your blasters, men. Try to cut her down.
Yeah, the AIM employees are, they're panicking.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I interrupted you.
Murdoch
must be protected.
Yes. And the guards are moving in, and the woman Murdoch wanted me to kill is running for cover. But not so fast. She said, I would prefer my own costume. And then she realizes... She's flying. She says, this is marvelous. But how? Hey.
I think it's just she's saying marvelous and there's not room in the caption.
No, I know. I know. It's making a joke.
Maybe it's supposed to be a joke, too, actually.
Yeah. Upsy daisy, honey bunch. Halloween's over. Time to give the ladies costume back.
So she grabs Agent M17 and I like how... it shows, the next panel is she's wearing a costume and she's being shot at. Was she being shot at the whole time while she was changing costumes?
Probably. So, you know, there's a quick, you know,
it says changeover. A fast minutes change later.
There, somehow I feel whole again, even if the costume does have nothing to do with my powers anymore, and I think I know why. Somehow, when I caught my second radiation blast from the psych magnetron, it transferred most of the costume's powers to my body, which suits me just fine. Iron Man can keep the copyright on superpowered costume armor. So this is my question then.
Yeah.
Because, like, if she doesn't have... If the powers have nothing to do with the costume anymore, then how come when she was fighting Grotesque, she couldn't fly anymore once the costume got shorted out? And why didn't she have... Like, why couldn't she breathe anymore? If she, at that time, could already fly without the costume? Because that's after the psych magnetron.
Yeah. Maybe it was all in her head. Or maybe they wrote one issue and then they were like, you know what? It would just be better if it was this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because her costume gets short, it's like, what? Does she just not have powers anymore? How are we going to fix the costume?
No, she... Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
I think it just makes the last issue work, and then this way makes this issue work.
Well, anyway, she says Ms. Marvel's powers are hers alone, so I think that's pretty cool.
Then we see an AIM employee has a gun trained on her, and her seventh sense lets her know about it, and she whips the round.
I mean, maybe the way they're you know, she does feel like back to normal after she puts the costume back on.
She just feels more complete.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how Punisher feels naked unless he has 10 guns on him.
Yeah. Well, you know, we each have our own costumes.
Or, you know, if I, like, leave the house without my wallet or our phones, right? If we leave without the phone, then probably the whole day you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, if I go one day without hugging the kitty.
Or
I
that.
I feel incomplete.
And so she whips around and smacks him, and the AIM employee reflects on how it was impossible for her to react that fast because he didn't know. Then we see Ms. Marvel has another seventh sense premonition of somebody coming up behind her.
And
she turns around. Murdoch!
And he says,
hi, Ms. Marvel. Murdoch!
His brain beam hitting me with the speed of thought, and it hurts.
My name is an acronym for Mobile Organism Designed Erling for Killing.
That name's not far from the truth. He's blasting me with force beams, lasers, sonics. If not for my Kree skills, I'd have died long ago. My only hope is to get to the chair itself. By the great Pama, he's running. This is almost too good to be true. But I can't afford to let him get away. After all, I don't even know where this AIM rat trap is, let alone how to get out of it. I need MODOK to show me the way.
And all these AIM goons are like, get her!
but that doesn't hold her. She whoops on him. And then MODOK blasts her with the brain beam.
And he says,
it is not necessary that they hold you long, Ms. Marvel. Merely long enough for me to unleash the full power of my brain beam.
Jupiter dropped on my head. Another shot like that and I've had it. Yet MODOK wasn't trying to kill me. Lately, none of his AIM agents are. He wants me alive, so he can stick me under the Mind Ripper again. Only reason it didn't work first time was because MODOK thought he was zapping one persona, and there are two of us.
Two of us.
So this totally gets into the whole,
you know... Yeah, the dual persona thing.
Yeah, like, are they the same person? Are they... I mean, they're obviously not the same person. Like, each of us are, like, one person.
Right.
You know?
That means Mike Barnett's right, Carol. That's her shrink friend.
Carol and Miss Dam and Miss Marvel the same yet completely different. But then she sees that the beam has burned a hole in the wall and there's a tunnel. So she's trying to get out of there.
Yeah, she MODOK sends his goons after her. These goons are dressed in blue. Then she's going through this tunnel and she sees a bunch of AIM goons dressed in yellow. And we learn...
Are these the same goons? Do they know about each other?
Well, because basically MODOK is in... He used to be in charge of AIM, and then he got overthrown in the Battle of the Supervillains, which I know nothing about. And then, except for what we learned in this issues. And then I guess he's trying to get control of AIM again. So he has control of West Coast AIM and some kind of hideout in New York. But this is a different... AIM. This is the AIM that he doesn't have control of, which is the New York branch of AIM. And AIM is Advanced Idea Mechanics, and they're an evil corporation organization type thing.
Right.
And so she's just whooping on all these yellow AIM fools as well, and she's basically relying on her warrior instincts to guide her out of the complex, and she finds an elevator shaft, and she flies up and
sees... that the headquarters are actually at the store, which we kind of knew about from earlier issues. But now she, Miss Marvel, knows how to get into the headquarters.
And so she goes into a changing room, and without actually taking off any clothes or anything, she changes back into Carol Danvers.
And then she says, "AIM's looking for Miss Marvel. They won't spare a second look at Carol Danvers. Strange, since MODOK tried to brainwash Ms. Marvel, I'm not so scared of her anymore. I hope the feeling lasts." Ah, here comes the security boyos that AIM Goon was babbling about. And so she just goes, and then she buys some perfume, acts like a customer, and 10 minutes and 3 purchases later, she goes out of the store and says, "So long, fellas," which I could say it's been fun. I think I was carrying my purse when I changed into Ms. Marvel.
I think that's funny. Her accessories disappear as well.
Yeah. So she just... Yeah. Whatever she was wearing and whatever she carried on her before, that's what she's coming back with. So.
And then she's still kind of like... She's got holes in her memory. "I wonder how long ago that was, and what happens to my clothes, to me, when I change? I can feel the answer in the back of my head... But it's part of Ms. Marvel's life." Life is in quotes. "And her memories are as foggy to me as mine must be to her. God, it's frustrating."
And there's AIM's headquarters. So she's on the bus now.
Yeah.
"Alden's department store, serving the Bronx for over 100 years. Well, I'll be back, gentlemen, because I have a score to settle with you and your one-time leader, MODOK. And I'm a woman who pays her debts in full." So probably means that Grotesque is gonna appear again, you know, because that whole thing still hasn't been resolved. So
it says next issue, Grotesque is coming to avenge the murder of his race. At sunset dies the world. So that's the next issue.
Dun dun dun.
Okay, well this was basically like action packed.
Yeah.
All action and a little bit of character stuff with her. Flashbacks about you know, doing judo with Salia Petri and doing fighting the Kree aliens. She has Mar-Vell's memories. That was kind of an interesting reveal.
Yeah, so you know, this whole like split persona thing, I think, is like the big mystery that needs to be solved. Like, now they know about each other, I guess, or they know they're the same person, but they're still not quite the same person, and they're trying to figure out what that's all about.
Yeah, so let's see. We got a couple of plot threads going on here. We've got
MODOK.
MODOK is kind of like vying for complete control of AIM. And we learn that AIM, well, we know AIM is below the department store.
East Coast AIM is.
Yeah, and Carol knows about it, and Ms. Marvel knows about it. And we also have the Cavorite crystal, which Grotesque has. And that was, that's a crystal that can, like, destroy the world if mishandled. And her friend Sally Petrie, the astronaut, is planning on testing it in space for NASA.
And she's also got the split personality she's trying to figure out.
Yeah, with the help of her doctor friend or psychologist friend or psychiatrist. Which one?
I think it's psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist, Dr. Michael Barnett. And then also we have
her... Butthole Jameson.
Yeah, exactly. Butthole Jameson, editor... Or, sorry, publisher of Daily Bugle and Woman Magazine, which she's the editor of.
Yeah, so this woman's... She's busy. She's got a lot going on in her life. You know, take some nice relaxation time, Carol.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it for this issue and episode. That was issue number 7 of Ms. Marvel. And the next episode is going to be issue number 8, Return of Grotesque. I think we might resolve that storyline. Either it gets resolved in the next issue or the issue after that.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Till next time.
All right. Thanks so much.